Hey everybody, it's Brad here. Before we start today's episode, I just wanted to give a big thanks to all of you who have submitted story ideas, including our last episode on Little Pink Houses of Hope. It's an amazing story that you should give a listen to if you haven't yet, and it came from a listener, just like you. So if you haven't sent us your idea, now's a great time. Visit our website at crazygoodturns.org/celebrate to tell us about a person or organization who's done something great for someone else. And they could be featured in an upcoming episode. As always, thanks for listening.
I would say that he's the most compassionate person I've ever met in my life. He's just all around, the love and the care that he has for people, that he truly wants to see people do well. And you can tell it's sincere, it's authentic, it's nothing hidden behind it. It's just, he just purely wants to help people. He cares.
That's Lavelle Peake speaking about Kenny Hill. She's no longer homeless, thanks to him. You might remember Kenny from our special episode last year called The Gift. He was the guy at the very end who talked about anonymously buying dinner for a table full of soldiers, just to be kind. It turns out that's just the tip of the iceberg of Kenny's kindness and generosity. He does random and anonymous gestures like that all the time. Today you'll hear how a low point in his personal and professional life opened his heart to the redemptive power of helping others, and led him to create the Launchpad Foundation to turn around the lives of the homeless. This is Crazy Good Turns. We tell inspiring stories about people who do amazing things for others. I'm your host, Brad Shaw. Full disclosure here, I've known Kenny for nearly 10 years. We worked together at Home Depot until I retired from there in 2015. This story isn't about Home Depot, but it's an important part of Kenny's personal journey. To better understand Kenny's view of the world and his role in it, it helps to rewind to his youth. He grew up the oldest of seven kids, all raised by a single mom.
Grew up really as the eldest child, having a lot of responsibilities at an early age, helping my brothers and sisters and helping my mom with them. Responsibility was kind of right from the start, high priority. Really learned the ethic around, you know, teamwork, everybody working together, everybody doing their share. We grew up in the housing projects in Fresno, California. A lot to be desired for growing up with maybe all the things you need. We had the basics, so my mom made sure we always had food and clothes. I didn't realize, though, how much we didn't have until they started busing students in California when I was in elementary school. And they shipped kids from my side of town all the way across town to better neighborhoods and better schools. And that's when I started realizing there was a whole different level of what people lived and how people interacted and the types of material things that people had.
Kenny knew the meaning of struggle, and getting a glimpse of a better life motivated him to expand his horizons.
And that just put a desire for me to see, well, what more is there out there? This was in my same town, and I didn't even know about it. You know, it was 30 minutes away. It really gave me a desire to explore and become exposed to what else was possible, what else was out there.
Kenny says that when it came time for college, most of his friends stayed local and attended Fresno State. Kenny, though, said he wanted to get away to meet new people and get a different perspective, so he attended the University of California, San Diego. There, he worked his way through college, taking a part-time job at Home Depot, helping customers in the aisles of the store.
And that's when I really started understanding that helping people was something that was just a part of me. Started helping my mom with my brothers and sisters, and I don't know if it developed from there or if it was already in me, but by the time I started working at Home Depot, helping people all day was, to me, it wasn't like work.
When Kenny graduated with a degree in economics in 1992, a mentor of his suggested he write a letter to Home Depot's CEO and co-founder, Bernie Marcus, to tell him what he wanted to do with his future. You might remember Bernie from last season's episode on the Marcus Autism Center. In addition to being a highly successful entrepreneur, Bernie is a generous philanthropist. He's donated more than $1 billion of his own net worth to numerous causes, including more than $100 million to autism causes alone. Kenny, who was a part-time hourly associate in a store all the way across the country, didn't have high hopes for a response from the CEO of a multi-billion dollar public company.
And I'm thinking, this Bernie Marcus is so busy, he has a million things to do. He's never going to read my letter, you know, take time. But I did it anyway. And to my surprise, about a month later, he wrote on my letter. He said, Kenny, congratulations on you graduating. I want to put you in touch with our Vice President of Human Resources to talk about your future. I mean, he took the time to respond, and I still have that letter framed. Wow. That he sent my letter back to me and gave me the Vice President of Human Resources contact number to talk about my future with the company. So that's the type of it wasn't just a glossed over logo outside or something they put on the letterhead. It was what they lived, and it became contagious.
Kenny talked with the vice president, as Bernie suggested, and ended up landing a job at a store in Atlanta, where he worked his way up the store management food chain. He got an offer for a corporate job in Home Depot's Atlanta headquarters, which the company calls its store support center. But his love of helping customers kept pulling him back to the stores.
To that point, I was having fun every day I went to work. And I said, if I do that job, it's going to be like work. So I stayed in the stores.
Kenny resumed his climb up the ladder, but one stop along the way took a toll on him. He had been named assistant manager at the Cascade store, considered one of the more high-stress jobs among Home Depot's Atlanta stores. Cascade is a very busy store, with a large base of professional contractors who are quite demanding. And his personal life was in tatters.
And about a year after I got there, my first marriage abruptly ended, and I'm sitting here going, wow, I'm getting beat up at work, just trying to hold things together. When your personal life also goes down, it's like really tough. So that was probably the low point of my life, just really looking at, I worked for a great company, but I didn't feel like I was really being able to see the maximum benefit from being a part of the company. And then when my personal life took that toll, just like, you know, that's the gut punch to just like socks the wind out of you. And I find myself just saying, you know, what am I doing wrong? We got to get better. And I just prayed and said, God, you got to help me. You know, what's the deal with this? And the only answer I got was love gives. And I'm like, yeah, I know I'm supposed to love. I'm a believer and all that. But, you know, I don't have anything to give, really. Again, love gives. Love is, and kindness is free. And so I said, okay, let me see what I can do with that.
What Kenny did with that message was to start by applying it to his job and the customers he served.
It took a lot of energy, but at the time when I was so broken inside, the people appreciating my kindness made me feel better than it did them. So it was like I was getting positive energy from it because I was helping other people. And helping other people, that's kind of glossing over it because I've been my whole career is helping people. But when you really dig down, just, you know, really find out what you can do to help someone. You can say, hey, may I help you today? Okay, you don't need anything, thanks, and walk by. But when you walk to somebody and say, hey, how are you doing today? I'm glad you came to see us. What can we do for you? What are you working on?
And Kenny applied that genuine care to the people who worked for him as well.
There's a difference between being successful and being significant. To that point, I was putting in the hours. I was doing all of the required things of me to be in good standing on my job. So you could say I was being successful at achieving the goal of the role of an assistant manager. But I wasn't being significant in the lives of the people I come into contact with. I wasn't being significant in the lives of my associates. You can take your associate to give them a review and sit them down and say, you know what, here's what you did great the last 6 months. Here's what you need to work on. You need any help from me on that? Okay, sign here. Or you can say, you know what do you want to do? What do you want out of life? How can I help you achieve what you want? There's a difference. It takes a little more time to have that second conversation, but that's a significant conversation. So I started focusing on that, and it grew. My people started adapting to that, and then they started adopting it as to how they did it, and it started changing the store. And then customers would seek me out when they came. They go to the front desk and say, it's Kenny Hill here. And they say, I want to see Kenny Hill. And they'd be like, okay, there's something wrong. No, he helped me last time. And I want him to help me.
Kenny says that mind shift on the job turned his career around.
People sought me out. People within the organization began to hear about what I was doing. And we started transforming the store from a store that nobody wanted to really be a part of or hear about to a place there's something different going on there. You know, we need to go check that out.
Kenny's caring and giving mindset as a leader at work slowly seeped into his personal life, where he started committing random acts of kindness like the one we featured in the gift episode last season. He'd buy coffee for the car behind him at Starbucks or pick up the tab for a mom having breakfast with her kids at Denny's.
So one time I was at Quick Trip, I'm getting gas, and a guy walks out towards me, and he's parked at the pump across from me, and he says, hey, and I look up and he goes, oh, wow, you look just like my next door neighbor. And I almost said something to you that wasn't going to sound nice. I immediately said, well, you know what? Since you thought I was your neighbor, I want to act like your neighbor. Let me pay for your gas. And he looked at me. He was shocked. And I said, he said, are you serious? I said, yeah, I'm going to pay for your gas. So I swiped my card, pay for his gas. And I looked, and he had already pumped. And he put $5, and he had a dually. I'm like, this guy wasn't going very far with that. So I fill up his tank, and then he walks away and gets on the phone, and he's talking to somebody. And he's and I can kind of hear him. He says, you won't believe this. This guy just bought my gas. He filled my tank just out of nowhere. And he didn't ask for anything. I could hear him have his conversation. And I finished doing it, and I said, hey, man, you have a great day. And he's blown away. He just couldn't believe it. Those memories, I'll never forget them.
More often than not, Kenny's acts of generosity are done anonymously. He's not doing it for the thanks or recognition, but rather the personal joy and fulfillment he gets knowing he's done something nice for someone.
A couple times I got caught. One time I did it at Chick-fil-A. My order, they said, can you pull forward? We're going to have to get you some fresh fries or something, they said. And I'm like, oh, my God, I just paid for this guy's order behind me. I had to pull forward. He got out and walked up. He said, hey, you paid for my order. And I said, yeah, you know, have a nice day. Just wanted to wish you a good day. And this big old burly guy, man, he almost broke down. He's like, man, nobody's ever did that for me.
Kenny's generosity grew with his salary. The more money he made as his career progressed, the more substantial his random gifts became. By 2009, Kenny was a district manager at Home Depot running 10 stores. Now remarried, he and his wife Clarissa were looking for ways to make an even bigger contribution to the world.
We saw a property that was right next to a local park, a recreation center. Kids flocked to the park and the recreation center. But to get there, they had to walk right by this abandoned complex of townhouses. The windows are all kicked in, doors busted out, the people going in to steal the copper out, do drugs and everything else you can imagine. So just terrible thing for kids to be walking by on their way to the playground. And we started purchasing those units, and we had to purchase them one at a time because each one was on a different deed. So it took a lot of time to do it. It took maybe a year to purchase and get all the transactions done.
How many were there?
There was 22 of them total, and we purchased 12. So okay. After we got to 12, we said, okay, this is 50%, so nobody can come and do something we don't want to do.
Kenny managed the renovations on the 12 townhomes with no grand scheme in mind, other than to help remove an eyesore in the community while hopefully making a smart investment in real estate during the downturn.
I took vacation that week from work to have all of the final walkthroughs from the city inspectors. And I'm walking through them, and they look so much different than that building had looked before. And I'm just saying, okay, now what do we do? I mean, we could sell these and make a nice profit, or we can open them up market rate and just rent them out. I said, but there's got to be a reason that I'm standing here with all these units. And again, God spoke to my heart and said, what if you did what you did for this building for people's lives? Totally renovate. And so I'm like, wow, that would be awesome. I was like, I don't have any background in that. You know, how do you do? Where do you start? And I said, well, if you took somebody who's homeless, that's pretty much as bottom, as far as you can go, as far down as you can get. I said, and that way a renovation from there could be pretty dramatic to give somebody hope and get them sustainability.
You heard that right. Kenny wanted to find a way to use his freshly renovated townhomes to help renovate the lives of homeless families. So he decided to turn 5 of the homes over to homeless people. But he was smart enough to know that just giving them a roof over their heads wouldn't be enough to fully turn their lives around. They need additional support in virtually every aspect of their lives.
At the time, I thought about, I want to provide them all of the advantages and the tools and resources I have in my life. So I had an attorney I could call at any time. I had a CPA for my finances that any decision had to be made. I belonged to things online that were helping me with health and wellness. So I said, if I can give them the same advantages I have, give them access, then that would be what it would take for them to turn their situation around. Not just a roof over their head, because if we don't change the way they look at their problems, if we don't change the way they think about their processes, they'll eventually end up right back where they've been. So we wanted to change all of that. So I said, we need to surround them with the resources and the information and the tools to make a lifestyle change. And that's what became the Launchpad.
The Launchpad was the nonprofit Kenny established to realize his dream. To provide that wraparound support he described, he tapped into his circle of friends and colleagues to find volunteers to coach the families in things like financial literacy, nutrition, job performance, and faith. He found a designer to help decorate the homes with donated furnishings. Kenny worked with local homeless shelters to identify five families to live in the homes, and he structured the program in such a way to put responsibility on the household heads for making sustainable change to their lives.
What we tell them is they actually sign a lease. You're responsible for this lease. And the market rate was $750. So we said, what you pay is $75. So that's 10%. Now, in order to get the balance of that other $675, you have to fully participate in the program. When you do that, you get a voucher for the rest of that rent that you're not paying. So basically, it was showing them that they had to earn. They had to pay something out of their pocket now, but they had to earn the rest by doing the things it takes for them to become self-sufficient.
The program itself is highly structured. The participants have mandatory weekly meetings with the Launchpad coaches and homework assignments. And Kenny and the team use tough love to hold them accountable for improving.
There are rules set up at the beginning. Basically, the rules are structured just for their success. If you can't make it to sessions on Thursday, that's mandatory. So we have people who, you know, for whatever reason, Thursday, oh, man, I'm on the other side of town, can't make it. Okay, that's not okay. So you do that a couple times, and it's like, okay, it seems like whatever is going on the other side of town is more important than you being here, which is fine, but being here is required to stay in the program. We let people make their choices, and then they live with the results.
One of the participants was having performance problems on her job as a housekeeper at a local hotel. Kenny, tapping into his own career experience, counseled her to find a fellow employee at the hotel who was well-respected and partner with them to learn what made them great at their job. His advice paid off.
And I remember the day she came in and said, I'm no longer in housekeeping. She showed me her button. She said, and it said front desk trainee. She said, I'm now on the front desk. I'm training for the front desk. And I was just like, wow, so raising pay. She's, you know, doing what we advise her to do, and it's working. So she's all excited. But she didn't stop there. She got promoted to the front desk, and then she got promoted to the front desk lead. She got promoted from there to the back office, and she's still at that hotel today. She's the night auditor for the whole night crew at the Embassy Suites. She just turned 21. I mean, just a wonderful career in hospitality now. But if, you know, we weren't there to give her the help when she needed it, who knows how that might have turned out. Those are the types of interactions you have with people when you invest in their life.
Kenny, a coach himself, also uses the Launchpad program to spread his philosophy of kindness and giving.
One of my segments is giving, because we teach them, even you just got out of a shelter into your own place, but every week when we come back here, I'm going to ask you, did you have a chance to give this week? Did you have a chance to help somebody? Did you have a chance to give something to somebody they didn't ask for? We call them giving moments. It's like, what was your giving moment? And so at first it was a little bumpy, but they caught on, and then they start being excited about it, and they couldn't wait to tell me their giving moments. What happened for me, I was allowing it to happen for them to nurture that generosity gene and get them on the track of not looking only out for themselves, but how can I help somebody else?
Participants graduate from the program when they show a track record of job stability and can pay rent and living expenses for their family on their own. When they leave their Launchpad home, they take the furnishings with them so they don't have a financial setback moving into their own place. All five participants have graduated and are living on their own without support from Launchpad. One of them is Lavelle Peak, whom we met at the top of the show. Lavelle is a single mother of three young boys. When Kenny met her, she and her kids were sharing one room in a homeless shelter for single moms. Thanks to Launchpad, her life has turned around. She's living independently, holding down a steady job, and providing for her kids. She's reconnected with her estranged father and is finishing up her degree at Georgia State University.
It gave me confidence, because before the program, I lacked confidence and there were a lot of reservations. I had things that I wanted to do, But through the weekly meetings, we would have to meet every Thursday with our coaches. They gave me encouragement that even if you fail, you know, you can always try. You know, you take whatever you failed at and examine it and say, well, how can I do better next time? That's how I literally take everything now is even if I fail, it's like, okay, well, let's examine that and see what you can do better next time. And so now I see failure as a good thing. I don't see it as like, oh my God, it's the end of the world. No, it's not. Just reexamine what you can do better.
Liv Harrison is the Launchpad's wellness coach, helping participants make healthier choices in nutrition, health, and fitness. Like all the other coaches, she volunteers her time and services. And like Kenny and his own giving, she finds her work with Launchpad energizing and fulfilling.
It's just so rewarding to see everybody evolve and everybody grow. It's almost like we get a lot out of it too. It's almost like they fill your tank by giving back and coaching them and teaching them how to have a better, healthier life and be able to migrate back into society one day full force. It's just so rewarding to yourself to see that you were able to help somebody to be successful after.
This spring, Launchpad is bringing in a whole new group of families into the program. Kenny says he has even bigger long-term aspirations.
I have a vision to really impact homelessness. We were successful and significant with the first group. Those families that finished the program are no longer homeless. We ended homelessness for them. I want to have that impact on more people, and there's a need not only in our city but across the country. When I look at the goal I have, it's in 5 years, so by 2023, I want to have capacity to bring 50 families into my program. So I'm working on building capacity, partnering with other maybe market-rate apartment complexes, partnering with other investors who have properties.
People often lament they wish they had more time to give back. They'd love to do more for others, but in their hectic lives just can't carve out space to volunteer or take up a cause that's important to them. Or, particularly among younger generations, they just can't spare the money to give to charity. And that's okay. What Kenny proves, though, is that time and money are irrelevant when it comes to kindness and generosity. Making a conscious effort to weave them into your daily lives can make a huge difference in your own life and in those around you.
There are opportunities all around you. When you look at where your passion is, mine was helping people. It could be helping people with anything. So I'm somebody how to tie their shoe. Doesn't matter. Didn't have to be a homeless person that, you know, needed a whole life turnaround. But find your passion and then turn that passion into a way you show generosity for somebody else. And that is because you get so much out of it. You don't need a primer to get you to do it again. If you want to make your neighborhood, your school, your family, whatever, a better place, just focus on other people.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. Go to crazygoodturns.org to learn more about or donate to the Launchpad Foundation. You can also submit your ideas for people or organizations we should feature. Make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing to us on iTunes. And stay connected with us between episodes by following us on Facebook and Twitter. Our show is audio engineered by Stephen Key. Music supervision and mixing by Score Score in Los Angeles. And a special thanks to Megan Basinger. I'm your host, Brad Shaw.
Kenny Hill is the most selfless person probably I have ever met. He's so calm and balanced and so inspirational on so many different levels. He's just a blessing to the world.